Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The title of our message this morning is, I Need to See Him. We use this expression many times in our lives. For example, if somebody needs to make an appointment to see a doctor or an interview or some situation is going on, we always use the expression, oh, I need to see him. Or I need to see her, or I need to see into this. The need is an important factor in our human lives. Sometimes people, instead of saying, I need to see him, people use the expression, I want to see him. There's a difference that I want to see him, and there is a difference between I need to see him. So today we entitled the message, I Need to See Him, because the purpose is for us to create in our hearts the need for our eyes to contemplate Jesus Christ. During Jesus' ministry in this earth, when he came and he put on our uniform, our humanity, people, many people, came to see him, each with their own reasons. Just like in church, just in our days. They have their wants. They have their own needs. Some want to see him because they were curious about his teachings. Some want to see him because they were furious because of his teachings. Some came seeking change. Some came and resist change. Some came to accept the good news. And some was so preoccupied and insist in keeping the old news. Some came to see Jesus because they needed physical and spiritual healing as well. And we sincerely hope that everyone that is connected this morning are seeking physical and spiritual healing as well. So you came because you need to see him. I hope that our service will project before your eyes the Jesus that you need to see. Some may come for the wrong and selfish reasons, as in the time of Jesus that happened. Not everyone who wants, or not everyone who meet Jesus, felt the need of Jesus. To understand our personal need to see him today, we like to visit the stories of few people who actually saw him, who actually touched his hands and were touched by him and had their own lives changed forever. I remember when I first met him. I remember when I first saw him, of course, not actually, but in a symbolic way. Hope today that it will be your story as well. Our first story that we chose to illustrate the point of the need to see Jesus, it is about someone who has almost like a pastor's job. He was a Jewish leader. And he, as you know, many Jewish leaders did not follow Jesus. And this one that we're going to mention, he was not a follower of Jesus. As a matter of fact, many of those same leaders that live in the time of Jesus Christ, some of them were actually angry at Jesus because of his teachings, because Jesus' teachings were so different than the things that they were teaching the people themselves in the synagogues every Sabbath. But in this story, we find in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, 24, Mark shares two stories under one sub. So this is just the first part of the story. We learn about one Jewish leader named Jairus, who urgently needed to see Jesus. Yes, he said, I needed to see him, and I need now. What was so urgent? What was such a big problem that he had that he needed to see Jesus right away? He needed the help so fast. So he, when he heard that Jesus was approaching the place where he lived, he ran to see if he could see Jesus. But Jesus was not there yet. He was the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But he heard that Jesus was crossing and was coming towards where he lived. So he ran. And he got to the shore. And there he kept looking. So people, when they heard that Jesus was coming also, they got all together in a shoreline, and there was this huge crowd there. Now we can imagine Jairus running back and forth. Jairus ran back and forth anxiously until the boat finally came to shore. And when Jesus got out of the boat, all the multitude came around Jesus. And Jairus pushed people around, and he got in front of Jesus, and he fell to Jesus' feet. And he told Jesus what his problem was, why he came to see him. The question, have you ever had a big problem, so big that you are anxious to see Jesus, to find the much needed solution for your problem? Do you know what his problem was? His 12-year-old daughter was dying. And he and his wife probably have tried everything to keep her alive and to help her to get well, but they could see that the life was leaving her. I am a parent. I'm a grandparent, as a matter of fact. All of you that are parents, you can know the anguish. I remember situations when my children were so sick and we had to find every possible way to try to get them better. Just to contemplate the fact that we were going to lose our precious child was unbearable. So that was his problem. He wants to do everything that it would take to make sure that his 12-year-old daughter will not die. So he tried everything, but nothing worked. So one thing came to his mind. He heard about Yahshua of Nazareth. He heard about the miracles that he had performed. He heard about him, and he heard that he was coming. So he put in his heart, I need to see him because he might be the only solution for my problem. So he ran and he asked Jesus to come. If you open your Bibles in Mark chapter 5, 21 to 24, and I'm reading from the New Century Version, it says, verse 21, when Jesus went in the boat back to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him there. A leader of the synagogue, which was Jairus, came there and saw Jesus and fell to his feet, begged him. Now you can imagine, this is an individual that was viewed as an authority. He was highly respected for the people. Can you imagine the people now seeing this leader, this spiritual leader, begging Jesus? He didn't care about what the crowd will say. His need was so strong and so urgent that he didn't spend time. He could not waste any, he could not spare any time. He begged Jesus, saying again and again and again, my daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and will live. Please, Jesus, please, Yahshua, come to my house. Come to my life. Come to my life, because my daughter is dying and she needs also to see you. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed Jesus and pushed very close around him. At this point, Mark introduced another story, which is not our intent to share today. We will leave it for another time. But then in verse 35, he continues, and I'm now reading from the New Living Translation. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus with the bad news to tell him, "Sir, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. There's no need. It's too late. It's too late." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, sir. Just have faith." In some verses it says, "Just believe." Just believe. Brothers and sisters, how much a difference will make in our lives if we just avoid to have fear, to be controlled by fear, and if we have faith. Verse 37 says, "Then Jesus stopped the crowd." Why? Why did Jesus tell the crowd, "You know, okay, you may stop here. I have something else to do, but you cannot come along"? Because the crowd came, and sometimes the crowd was not moved by the same reasons and did not have the same faith. Many of those people in the crowd, they were there just because they want to be part of this, what is going on. They want to see and hear. It's like sometimes people are in the crowd, they have no reason why we are here. They are just there. And wouldn't let anyone go with him except, and he chose Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping. People were crying. And by the way, some of these people are just people hired. They go from place to place, from house to house. They were hired to cry. And so they have these special rituals that they perform every single time. Verse 39 says, "He went inside and asked, 'What is this, all this noise, all this commotion, all this weeping? What is going on? The child is in bed. She's just asleep.'" Now, there were time, the moment that she died, so everybody had no, they were all very sure that she was dead. And here comes this young rabbi and tells them that the child is not dead, that she was only asleep. The reaction was the same crowd, same group of people that were crying, make all that, you know, like an acting, like they are. Why do I say an acting of this particular group? Because that's what they were hired for. The same group laughed at Jesus Christ. Now, here's the people that are supposed to be mourning. And just because Jesus said she's not dead, she's sleeping, now they start laughing at him. But he made them also to leave. Remember, he stopped the crowd not to come, and he asked this group to leave. Why? Because when a miracle is about to happen, those that are needed to be present are those that will be learning eternal lessons from it. But if their eyes are closed, if their heart are closed, it's better for them to leave. And he took the girl's father and the mother, because they did believe. The father, remember, he went looking for Jesus. And why he took the mother? Because the mother probably said, go and see the young rabbi. Bring him here and our daughter will not die. So Jesus took the father and the mother also and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. And then he took the hand of the young girl. And he said to her, little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. And the father and the mother and the three disciples, they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus took his three disciples, because later on, when Jesus went to heaven, they were the ones who were supposed to provide the same miracles in his name after he was going to heaven. What lessons do we learn from this short story? We learn that it doesn't matter how highly you are in a church, if you have a degree in theology, if you know religion, if you teach religion, if religion is part of your daily life. But when you are in crisis, you need to seek him. You cannot seek an explanation. You cannot seek anything else but your unique need. In this case, he was no longer the leader of a synagogue when he came to Jesus. He was just a father, a desperate father that loved his daughter more than anything. He was seeking a miracle. That's why he came to the conclusion, I need to see him. And because he needed to see him, his wife and the three disciples saw a miracle. And yes, even the group that was outside, that was inside before crying, now, as we say, they also were amazed when they saw that girl walking outside of that home. They themselves couldn't believe, because remember, they laughed at him when he said that she was only asleep. But some of them may ask themselves, but we saw that she was dead. Yes, we took her pulse. We saw the change on her face. Yes, definitely she was dead. Wasn't she? Yes, she was. But Jesus said she was just asleep, because he is life. He is the one who has life. He is the creator himself. So he came and gave her the privilege to come back to life because of the faith of her parents. Remember Jesus said to him, don't be afraid. Just believe. You came to me with a need, and I will provide for your need. And that's the moral of this story. Everyone who came to Jesus with faith, driven by faith, with a need, by the time they met Jesus, Jesus took care of their need. The second story that I'd like to bring to you is the story of Zacchaeus. By the way, let me share with you before I give you the second story. The meaning of the name Jairus is very important, because the meaning of his name is clearly of relevance. It says that his name was to be light or to give light. That was the meaning of his name. Now we move to the second story with Zacchaeus, which the meaning of the name Zacchaeus is to be pure or to be clean, to be innocent, to be bright, to be pure, almost like a light. You see, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was not just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector in Jericho. Now, a chief tax collector was somebody who was in a very good position as far as socially speaking. He was rich, very rich, and he had influence. But for his own people, he was considered a traitor because he was working for the enemy. He was working for the Romans. And many of them, many of the tax collectors, they were corrupt. Sometimes, depending on who was the Roman in charge of the area, they will extort people. They will overtax them, actually rob them, legally rob them, with overtax them. And the tax collectors, they were the enforcers of such a corrupt practice. So the people hate them. And the people labeled all of them as corrupted. You know, sometimes one person does something bad in the church, and people say, oh, that church. Sometimes people blame the whole church because one single person is not the type that reflects the image of Christ, and yet damages the whole reputation of the church. The same thing, sometimes people talk about the disciples. The first thing that came to mind is Judas, because one person did something bad and then taint the name of all of the others. So here's a tax collector, a chief tax collector. Now, there is something that we remember about him every single time. When we talk about the name Zacchaeus, the first thing that comes sometimes to our minds is not only the fact that he was a tax collector, but that he was short. Actually, he was so short that he had to climb into a tree in order to see Jesus as Jesus was coming by, passing by his hometown. So now, let's go in Luke chapter 19. Verse 1 to 10, it says, Zacchaeus met Jesus. Why he met Jesus? Because he heard that Jesus was passing by. And it is good that the Holy Spirit spoke to Zacchaeus, because actually that was the last time that Jesus was passing through his hometown. That was his last chance. And brothers and sisters, let's learn this. In your heart, when the Holy Spirit tells in your heart, you need to see him move. If you have to climb a tree, if you have to be ridiculed, if you have to make a spectacle of yourself, don't delay. Because that may be the last time that you may be able to see Jesus. If your heart tells you that it's time for you to make a decision in your life, make it. It's important for you to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus, it was his time, was the last time, the last opportunity. Jesus was going through the city of Jericho. A man were named Zacchaeus, who was a very important tax collector, and he was wealthy. He went to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because, again, just like in the previous example, the crowd. Always the crowd, trying to block the people in need to see Jesus. There was the crowd. So he ran ahead. He says, no, I won't give up. His need was so strong that he decided not to give up. So he ran ahead to the place where Jesus would come. So he calculated, you know, Jesus has to pass through here. So he ran and he climbed a sycamore tree. Actually, it was a sycamore tree. Fig tree, so he could see him. Yes, he needed to see him. When Jesus, verse 5, when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and he said to him, yes, Jesus knew exactly who he was. Everybody in town knew who he was. Jesus knew him, knew about him, knew his name. So Jesus looked at him. And he said, and I can see the children, all the crowd laughing. I see that short man over there in a tree like a little boy but he didn't care. His need was so much greater than anything that people could say to him. So he heard the voice of Jesus saying, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I must. I like Jesus using this. He says, Jesus didn't say, I want or I wish I could. Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. Jesus could read that Zacchaeus need to see him. So Jesus said, I must come to your house today. I don't know how many of you that is listening to this message this morning can hear Jesus saying the same thing to you. Say, dear lady, I must come to your house today. And the house here means your heart, your mind. Is Jesus Christ say, I must come to your heart today. If today I knock at the door, he asks you please to open so he may come in. So Zacchaeus came down quickly. Yes, the most important thing in his life was about to happen. So he came quickly and he welcomed Jesus gladly, with joy, with enthusiasm, with conviction. It was the greatest day of his life. But then, the crowd again. The crowd, all crowd. All the people saw this and they began to complain. Why? Because they were jealous. Why is this Jesus? Doesn't he understand that this guy is a sinner? Doesn't he understand what kind of person he is? That he works with the Romans? That he is no good? Why is Jesus going to a house of someone who is not good? The answer is simple. Because Jesus could read his heart. And could see that he wants to be good. And he was begging for opportunity to be good. So in verse 8 says, after, of course, there we imagine that they were already on the table, they were eating, but Zacchaeus stood up. Now, of course, he was inside of his home. So he had a place where he could stand up and everybody could see him. Maybe a box or something. He stood up. And because of his house and because he was wealthy, everybody paid attention to what he was about to say. Everybody was curious also about what he was about to say. And he said this, one of the most beautiful reflection of what a person when he's saved will say. He said, I will give half of my possessions. And that is a lot. Remember, he was wealthy. I'll give half to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, if anyone can come and prove to me that for some reason I use any dishonest means to collect tax from them, I will pay back four times more. I'll pay interest upon interest upon interest upon interest, four times the value if you can prove to me. So in one single statement, he rebuilt, he challenged anyone who questioned his honesty. Anyone who questioned his sincerity and surrendering. Because you see, the Bible says, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there also. And so evidence that his heart was in the hand of God, that now he took half of what was his and gave to the poor, an act of God, take care of the one in need. Jesus said, anyone who does anything for these little ones, it does it to me. So basically, at that moment, Zacchaeus not only returned tithe to God, he didn't give 10% to the poor on behalf of the Lord. He didn't give 10% to the church. He gave half of all that he had to the ministry of the poor. Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house. And of course, this was not a point to the place where Zacchaeus lived, but also to Zacchaeus' heart. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's like Jesus was saying, this man is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has manifested his presence on him. Because this man also belongs to the family of Abraham. The Son of Man came to find the lost people and save them. It's like Jesus Christ say, I came to save the lost, and I found one lost that now is saved. Just because he wanted to see Jesus, he will see Jesus forever. Because when he went to his grave, I can guarantee you, brothers and sisters, he was just like that young girl, just sleeping. And they're all sleeping, waiting for that time when they will be able to see him again. Our third story is a story of also another leader, a Pharisee, a very important Jewish leader. One night, after the crowd, because he waited for the crowd to go away. And after the crowd was gone, and Jesus was all by himself, Nicodemus came to see him, because he also had a need to see Jesus. I need to see him. I can imagine the whole day he was saying, I need to see him. And he waited until the crowd moves away, and then he approached Jesus. And he said to Jesus, teacher, remember, Nicodemus was a teacher. And then he says, teacher, we know you are a teacher sent by God, a teacher from God, because no one can do the miracles you do unless God is with him. I always, in our teachings, we always tell people, if God is good, God can only produce what is good. It's a common sense. So here Nicodemus approached Jesus with a very common sense. He says, if you're doing God's work, God has to be with you. You won't be able to produce those works which reflect God unless God is with you. There means it's a very simple understanding. Understanding that all the Pharisees fought against and resisted, but not Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was also touched by the Holy Spirit. So Nicodemus came to see Jesus because the Holy Spirit put inside of him the need to see Jesus. So he came. Jesus answered to him and says, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot be in God's kingdom. Interesting that Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Nicodemus then said, but if a man is already old, how can he be born again? He cannot enter his mother's womb again, so how a person be born a second time? But Jesus answered to him, using the same expression he used before, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born from water and the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. Why do you want to see Jesus? I'll tell you the truth. Unless you have a need to see him, you also cannot enter God's kingdom. In order for us, brothers and sisters, to see Jesus again, we needed to be born out of water and his Spirit. We need to live with the truth until Jesus Christ comes. And finally, our fourth and last story for this morning is found in Luke 19, verse 41 to 44. You know, Jesus came during his life many times to Jerusalem, quite a few times. Luke even reports when he came when he was 12. But we know that they came for the festivities and quite a few times Probably he came a few times with the Joseph to sell furniture or to do a few things as a carpenter. We know that he has been in Jerusalem many times. But now, in the past 3 years, as he was a minister, a preacher, a teacher, a healer, he came a few times to Jerusalem. He came to the temple. He came to visit friends. Remember, Lazarus was close by. So Jesus came. This time he was come to Jerusalem for the last time. So he looked as he came near Jerusalem, and he saw the city. And the second time is mentioned in the Bible because it says when Lazarus died, he cried. But here is another time it says, and he saw the city, and he cried. He cried for it. And he said, in verse 42, he said, I wish you knew today what would bring you peace. Yes, the Prince of Peace came to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem rejected him. And he continued by saying, but now it is hidden from you. In verse 43 says, the time is coming when your enemies will build a wall around you and will hold you in on all sides. That happened 40 years later when the Romans came and destroyed the temple, destroyed the city. Thousands and thousands of people died. Jesus predicted. Jesus told, oh Jerusalem, you reject the one who came to bring you peace. If you have only accepted him. In verse 44 he says, they will destroy you and all your people. And not on one single stone will be left on another. All this will happen because you did not recognize the time when God came to save you. You know the name Yahshua means? God saves. So basically Jesus was saying, all this will happen to you because Yahshua came to you and you refused Yahshua. You refused to see him. And you refuse to come to him. Therefore, disaster will come upon you. In closing, brothers and sisters, I want you to open your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. I'm reading from the New Century Version. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. I strongly recommend that you highlight those verses in your Bible and read them a few times. This is what it says in New Century Version. You have not seen Christ, but still you love him. Praise the Lord, we do. You cannot see him now, but you believe in him. And I talk about see him now literally. So you are filled with a joy that cannot be explained, a joy full of glory. And then I like also what Job 19 verse 27 says in New Living Translation. Job 19 verse 27. I have this highlighted very beautiful in my Bible because I really like this verse. And I hope that you enjoy it as well. It says, I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. Oh, brother and sister, how many times I read this? Sometimes with tears in my eyes, I read this by saying, I will see him for myself. Come, Lord Jesus, I'm so anxious. I need to see you. I hope, my brothers and sisters, that this morning you have the same need, the same thought, the same joy, the joy full of glory, as Peter says, I hope you'll be well overwhelmed with the thought that very soon we will see him with our own eyes. A fire, to illustrate, a house was on fire, and everybody immediately ran outside. But the father realized that his daughter was in the second floor, and the house was so much inflamed that he could not go back in. So he called her name, and she came to the window, and he asked her, step into the roof, and she did. But now the smoke was so dense, and so he looked at her and says, honey, this is Daddy. Jump, I will catch you. Jump. The little girl, so terrified and with so much smoke, she could not see her father. She could hear his voice. She recognized his voice, but she couldn't see. And the father says, honey, jump. I will catch you. Jump, honey. Trust me. Jump. And she said, crying, said, Daddy, I cannot see you. I cannot see you. Where are you? I cannot see you. Says, honey, I can see you. Just trust me. Jump. I will catch you. I will catch you. Trust me. Jump. And that little girl came to her mind the few times the father played this with her before, when there was no reason to fear. And she did trust, and she did jump. And as that thought came to her mind, she forgot about the smoke. She forgot that she could not see. And she closed her eyes and she jumped. And she jumped right into her father's arms. I want you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you today to be able to also to jump to his arms. In 1 John 3, verse 2, our scripture for today, it says, dear friends, we are already God's children. Yes, we are his beloved children. But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be just like him, for we will see him as he really is. Trust God. Jump to his arms. He is ready to catch you. Do you have a need to see Jesus? Can you see him? Can you see him in your fellow brother and sister from church? Can people see Jesus in your life? Do you project with your own life the need of Jesus? I hope people will be able to see Jesus in you every day until finally our eyes can see Jesus. I'd like to repeat what Job said, and I want this to be very clear in your mind. Make these your own words. Would you care to repeat with me as I read this verse together in a New Living Translation? I will see him for myself. Let me repeat. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. Please repeat with me. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes. I am overwhelmed at the thought. May God bless you. Please jump to his arms. He is ready to catch you. Amen.